You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
My name is Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form
Experience Grind podcast.
The only podcast where, actually, we're not the only podcast. I'm fucking it up already. Hey, it's a new year, new fuck ups.
That's all okay. Right? I forgot my name was Ryan for a minute there.
Is that what the pause
was
about?
That's what it was. I was like, maybe I'll make a dramatic pause like I'm trying to.
You're fake dramatizing. Influenced my over-dramatizing.
I like it. I know. You picked up on it.
It was really good.
So you call it teamwork?
Yeah. That's
good team.
We have flow synergy people.
It only took us a year, but yeah. We are synergizing like motherfuckers.
We have this synergy because we're not the only podcast with two white dudes talking about bullshit that doesn't matter, but we're not the worst.
No, and I'd fucking pat on the back for segue there.
Hey, man, that's what
Sound engineer Andy does not agree, but I thought that was pretty brilliant segue.
That's what they pay me for.
Who pays you?
Oh, who pays me? actually, we do get paid. Let's go ahead and throw this on.
Boom! That is another segue. You are the segue champ.
That's what I do. That's how I get into, how I used to get into so many girls' pants. Segue into the bedroom.
Nice.
Smooth criminal. Ryan, we do get paid somewhat in a roundabout way. Would you go ahead and drop some knowledge on us about this new thing that we're doing?
Yeah, so in case you guys didn't know, we have a Patreon account. And just search for Experience Grind on Patreon. You'll find us. We're the only ones. But we are up there. We are offering some content for anybody who donates just a dollar. That's all you got to do. No more, no less. Just a dollar. We appreciate it all, but we will have some special content for you guys. We're going to do some...
Yeah, we actually just cemented it today, I think.
We've got our plans down. Do you want to share?
I think one of our most popular things that we've done on this show, I don't know if it's for good or bad, but everybody seems to unanimously love the drunk cast that we had released on a whim when we were supposed to be recording, I believe, a Star Wars video game episode.
Yeah.
We got really drunk instead and just rambled into the mics.
Yep.
Somehow it's our most popular episode. So we're now going to hide the rest of those behind a paywall and release at least a monthly, if not a drunk cast. The other idea is we're going to drunkenly riff on movies in a riff track style that people can download and listen to while they watch a movie and have it at their disposal. So I think it's pretty cool. It's unique content that is only available to people who contribute, but it doesn't cut anybody out of us like talking about aspects of the show that we normally do. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, you'll get all of our regular episodes, you'll get the side quests, you'll get the bonus rounds, and even some other things we have planned that we haven't released yet.
2017, the year of improvement.
Yes. Yes. So we will be working on that. But speaking of Patreon, we already have some backers and some that we really want to thank right now for contributing
our first one is our biggest supporter, and man, this guy is pretty fucking awesome, and that is Micah Perdue.
Yes.
He's just a big fan of the show. He came over, of course, where we get a big cross-collaboration with a lot of the Tadpog people, and that ties into the other big donor we have, which is Tadpog themselves. They are also very awesome. They contribute and to our Patreon, and so that's just fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And I know I personally talk about Tadpog a lot. It's my favorite podcast, I think. I just fucking love those guys. They're a lot of fun. So
if you don't listen to them already, you should give them a shot. They seem like they are really great people. We will find out in person. Well, actually, you played a lot with them, so you kind of know. But I will get my taste of the Tadpog guys come March. But great podcast. Personable host. Just real fun. Find yourself. Support them.
And the long and the short of it is, support us, man. You guys should give us some money on Patreon. All of my friends out there who are fucking assholes, you know? If you don't listen to the show, kick me a dollar a month. What are you doing with that dollar?
I can't do this shilling. Yeah. I'm really bad at it, so I'm glad you're here, Kyle.
No, fuck that. You guys are assholes. I've known you, like, my whole life. You should give me $1 a month. Come on. Be cool.
I think there's a way you can say, like, you can give a dollar and then, like, cancel it at the last minute. That's okay, want, too. Just make our numbers look good.
Yeah.
That's fine, too.
Everybody bullshits everything.
Say you're going to pledge $30 and at the last minute change it to a dollar, but our numbers look good. Like, this is a thing. So that's, make our numbers look good.
It's what you call cooking the books, and I'm totally cool with it.
Oh, I'd be the first one.
Yeah.
And, like, Enron being like...
Oh, yeah. Enron's like, hey,
I'm into that.
We're going to legally get all this money. I'm like, yeah, let's do it, dog. Can can I buy a boat?
Well, yeah. Actually,
I'm in.
Shady shit? Oh, yeah, I'm in. Yeah, I'll do that.
So, all right, we've talked a lot of bullshit about people giving us money. Let's do some content. We've got a big four-part episode this year. Last year, we did it all in one, I think. Did we not?
Yes.
We crammed everything into
did.
One.
We did one.
So this year, we're gonna break it up, make it a little smaller and a little more personal. But the first of these is going to be our top five movies of 2017.
Yes. I would qualify favorites of 20, because these are
fair
not
enough.
The best artistic movies of 2015.
Fair
like
enough.
The most succeeding or whatever. Like, these are just ones that we personally really connected with.
Fair enough.
So, you know what? There are going to be disagreements from you people. Don't fucking care. Don't want to hear it. And there you go.
That, yeah.
I don't know why you listen to us. We just kind of hate on you guys.
We hate on... I love that aspect of our show. Even though we don't mean it, just the fact that we're constantly telling the audience to eat shit, I think it's endearing.
Yeah.
I think people come to... It's like... I don't know. I'm going to stop because I was going to make a really bad joke that might not go over well.
It could be like Always Sunny or something, maybe. Like,
sure,
you know,
that's way better than what I was going to
miserable people
go
that
for.
You kind of like, you kind of respond to. But seriously, like, you're going to have disagreements, and we'd love to hear like what
I'm
some
imagining
of your favorites are.
You and I are going to have a disagreement or two.
I will go so far as to wager, Kyle, I don't think you and I are going to have one same movie on our top fives.
Okay.
I would put money on that.
I'm going to bet you a dollar that we have one on the top five.
I'll put a dollar on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shaking on it.
And we have them written down, so we can't change it, too. So
and
this
have,
is good.
The only thing I don't like about this show is that my favorite person to talk movies and games with before this show was Ryan. And now we don't do it at all unless we're here.
It, yeah.
Because we save everything for this fucking show.
This
so
is going to be a surprise.
It's a, I don't know, it's a wish in one hand, shit in the other thing. Like, it's cool that we're doing this now, but, like, we don't just get to casually, like, we
What's,
go to...
Wait.
I don't think it's really what that means.
I want to know what this saying is.
You've never heard wish in one hand, shit in the other, see which fills up first?
No, I guess the shit fills up first.
Way more, because the wishes never come true.
Or they're intangible.
Yeah. That too. But a wish is just a wish.
Well, so this is turning into a drunk cast.
It's
can,
on the way.
I can already tell.
It's on the way for sure. I don't know.
Let's chug some more beers.
I had a point I was making, and I can't remember it now. Oh.
That we love talking about movies, but we haven't been because
well, it's also really weird for me. Like, after you and I go see movies a lot together, like at theaters, and then after the movie's over, we're like, all right, man, I'll just see you later.
Yeah.
Because we don't sit around and talk about it, which you do quite frequently when you go see movies with
people. It's maybe like a minute or two tops, and then we're like, well, we got to save it for the podcast.
Yeah, and then we're like, all right, man, well, good
Bye.
Seeing you, buddy. See you next time. So
this has been fun. Let's do it again.
It's a really weird thing for me to do, because I'm so used to just being like, oh, man, like that was fresh. Let's talk about that. And we don't do that.
Yeah.
So I'm ready to get into this, man.
Yes. Yes. Well, I think real quick you wanted to talk about some poopers, some
yeah,
real poopers.
Some stuff that I saw this year that did not make. And you know what? I don't even know if this first one I'm going to talk about was released this year. It could have been in 2015.
I'll let you know.
But I saw it and I thought it was awful. And I knew it was going to be awful, but I watched it anyways. So the first one that made my poop list is The Fifth Wave.
I think that was released this year, like January or February.
I think it was very early and
now,
it was very garbage.
Now, Kyle.
Yeah, okay, yes.
Why did you watch this movie? Because it looked like garbage from the trailer.
It did look like garbage from the trailer. I watched it. It was one of those days I was home, and I think it was on HBO. I did not see this in theaters.
Uh-huh.
It was a thing that I was like, hey, man, I remember this movie looking like garbage. Let's see how garbage it is. And it was garbage. It's just all around awful. The thing I remember from the trailer, and it still doesn't make sense in the movie, is who's the main girl?
Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yes.
Or Moretz Grace.
So,
Grace Moretz.
So the whole movie is like a apocalyptic alien invasion, and then there's like a jump of like 5 years in the future where she's this super soldier, mm-hmm. like going through this war zone and like scavenging stuff. But I remember she still had perfectly coiffed and curled hair. that had just been, like, she just walked out of the stylist. And I'm like, this is so fucking stupid. Like, it takes away all believability.
She should be looking like Viggo Mortensen in The Road.
Yeah, like, that shit should be greasy. It should be fucking tied back in a ponytail, but she has this little beanie and little cute curls coming. It's like, oh, my God. And just, it's an entire movie full of just lazy bullshit like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it seemed like it was, like, trying to cash in on that Hunger Games kind of crowd, but this is, like, the sixth or seventh fucking movie that's done that, because you have The Maze Runner, the Allegiant, Divergent, whatever series that is.
And they're
is.
Just garbage young adult novels.
Yep. Percy Jackson. Yep. There was, like, one with witches at some point. The Mortal Bones, or the Mortal Instruments, City of Bones, which sounds like a fucking porn to me, but that was one.
I never even heard
of
that
thing.
Movie.
There's been like seven or eight attempts at these young adult fictions.
Is that Miss Peregrine's? Is that a young adult too?
You know, it could be.
I think it is.
Or it could just be Tim Burton making up more shit, but it could very well be.
But anyway, yeah, Fifth Wave garbage. You did not see it, I take.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Again, it was like a bored afternoon. Mandy was at work. I work a weird schedule, so I was home. I was like, yeah, fuck it. Let's see if I was correct. And by God, I was very correct.
Well, that's sad.
I've got one more that made my garbage list. Do you have anything that you saw that you didn't really enjoy this year?
Well, here's the thing. I didn't make a poop list.
No.
I didn't know this was a thing we were doing. So I don't have anything off the top of... I'm going off the top of my head. I don't have a list to look at. I did see the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles sequel.
The sequel? I'm sure that's garbage.
It's not good.
Is it better than the first one? Because I've not seen either.
I think it's a wash. I think there are things that work better. I think the action is more fun and coherent.
Okay.
But you also get Tyler Perry doing white nerd face.
Okay.
Which is
like in White Chicks.
Well, so it's not actual white face. He's just playing like the whitest nerd you could have. It's just like, oh, you're such a beautiful girl. You go to Comic Con, just like that.
Oh, okay.
But like even more amped up. Like I'm not being out there enough with my impression.
Wow,
it's real bad. Megan Fox just continues to astound me. How she gets roles.
She's pretty.
Stephen Amell, Arrow, is in it as Casey Jones, and
just awful.
That doesn't work. It's not the worst thing. It's not good. And then the whole last act with the Technodrome and Krang and everything, it may as well be a fucking cartoon. It just turns into all CG, and it's like, why is this even live action? Just make a CG animated why have people in this movie?
Yeah.
Just why even have fucking people in this movie?
I wrote off Michael Bay after I saw the first Transformers in theaters, and it was one of the worst experiences of my life.
That was very smart of you.
I have not seen a single Michael Bay since then.
I have seen every Michael Bay.
I even skipped out on Pain and Gain, which was apparently okay.
Nope, it's not.
It's not? Okay.
It's just as bad.
I trust your opinion more than random people on the internet. Yeah. So,
well, random people on the internet are stupid. We know this.
Yes, we do.
We as random people on the internet ourselves, they're stupid.
So my other one for the poop list is another one that I give a lot of these movies a break when they try. There are obvious ones, and when I say the name of this movie, you'll know what I'm talking about that I just will skip and not care about. But the other poop list movie I saw this year was The Shallows with Blake Lively as a surfer girl stuck on a rock by a great white shark.
Uh-huh.
I generally like a shark movie.
Uh-huh.
I like Jaws. I like Deep Blue Sea. You don't like Deep Blue Sea?
I mean, it's dumb.
Yeah, it is dumb. But it's got
and
some
you gotta
okay
know,
stuff.
It kind of knows what it's doing.
Yes.
And it does have some really great
Whereas
memorable
The Shallows
scenes.
Tries to pretend it doesn't know what it's doing, and it's taking itself a lot more seriously. But yeah.
You're not wrong so far.
Just awful.
I disagree. Everything you said about it is correct, but I still really liked it.
You did. I did not know that. Okay.
I didn't love it, and it's not the best film. But this was, I told you, like, I kept a list of everything I saw in 2016 that I liked or really liked. This was on it.
Really? Okay.
It was never going to be top 10.
I did
not
like
close.
This movie at all. Like, I remember I know I sighed a couple times watching it. I don't know if I actually rolled my eyes, but I definitely was just, ugh. I was ready for it to be over when it was over.
And, oh, that's rough because I think it is only like 70 or 80 minutes.
It's
like
not
it's real
long
short.
Either, so
I thought it was well paced. I thought it was well acted. I thought everything was phenomenal and maybe even perfect, except for some CG. It was like obviously CG.
Yeah,
and then the end it turns into like schlock.
Oh, it goes very schlock. It just turns
and it's just out of
hard,
nowhere.
Right?
It's like as soon as like the colorful underwater jellyfish scene, that movie just takes a fucking turn into like big dumb Hollywood ending. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you don't know what you're doing.
I did like the one scene where she goes underwater and like she turns around and the shark is like right behind her in the rocks.
Yeah.
And she tries to get at her. That was a cool scene.
Yeah.
I like Steven Seagal. He's pretty all right.
Steven Seagal was really good.
So, for those that don't know, that's the name of the seagull that hangs out with her for a majority of the movie. He's like injured.
Mm-hmm.
He got the name Steven Seagal on the internet, I believe. People really like that character. But other than that,
was a good character.
I did not like The Shallows, but Ryan did. So, I think that's a 50-50 split.
Yeah. I definitely want to say it was bottom of 2016.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. And then you can check out our Batman v Superman episode because that would be my only other poopy movie.
Was that this year?
That was this year. That was March.
It did not make my top five. It
well,
shouldn't have.
It should have. If you have a top five meh list, it's
I liked
that.
It better than The Shallows, though. I'll say that. So
That blows my mind. But okay.
All right, so let's get into this list, man.
Yeah, I'd say start. I'm having a mini stroke over here.
It's all right.
Start at five, work your way up. To
yeah, I agree with that too. And
year,
five
right?
being our least favorite, number yep. one being our favorite. So
yep. Sounds good.
I'll go ahead and start off. I'll take reins here. My fifth favorite movie of this year that I saw was one you and I saw together. I think I maybe mentioned to you that this was going to be on the list, but this was The New Guys.
Sorry. Nice guys.
Sorry. I knew it wasn't in.
I love this movie so much. I don't remember
yeah.
what it was called.
Well, it wasn't. I wrote it down by memory. I knew there was an in. The Nice Guys, starring Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe.
Yes.
Not the greatest movie. There's some, thinking back on it, there's some things that I definitely have a problem with, like the fact that he still lives in the neighborhood of the where his house burnt down that he lived with his wife and his daughter. Just like down the street. I thought that was a little kitschy, a little far-fetched, a little dumb.
Well, I don't know. You can argue a point that he hasn't moved on.
You could. And,
so he's clinging on to
that. That's obviously what that is trying to show us at that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I thought it was a little ham-fisted. But yeah, a minor annoyance. That as a whole, it's a fun 70s romp buddy comp movie.
I think when we got out of the theater, you were like, I like this better than Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
I do. And I still think I hold true to that.
God, I can't. No.
Well,
I can't.
as has also been very established on the show, probably a bit of a fangirl for Ryan Gosling right here.
That's fair.
I really like that guy. So I'd say that's what puts it over the edge for me. Even though Kiss Kiss has RDJ.
One has Ryan Gosling and one has Gay Perry, like the best movie character of all time.
And it is Val Kilmer as Gay. Like that amps it up. Plus RDJ is a great bonus to Kiss Kiss. I don't know. And I don't really generally like Russell Crowe a lot, but he's a lot of fun in this movie. Like,
Easily the best Russell Crowe performance in years.
And I think it's because he's not trying super hard. He's having fun with the role, which gives it a lot more natural ability, a lot more of just flowing life, to sound full up my head at my ass.
No, that's cool. Like, I talk out your ass when it comes to this shit, because believe me, once we get to some of mine, there's going to be a lot of head up ass talking. No, I think The Nice Guys is a fantastic choice. No criticism will I ever throw at Shane Black. He can do no wrong.
Oh, yeah, you
in
do love
eyes.
Shane Black, too. So.
This was it's in my honorable mentions. It's one that just like, this is the thing with this year. This year had so many fucking good movies, whereas like last year I was like, well, Mad Max and Star Wars are on my list. It follows too. Anything else, it could be fucking whatever. It doesn't matter. Like, I didn't really care. This would have been in, like, number four, number three last year. But this year, there are so many good ones.
And I'm curious. I don't know if, like, I've just had an aneurysm and I forget things. I'm curious to hear what you're going to talk about. And maybe my list is fucked up, but.
Oh, no. I mean, well, we'll see my list. It's a lot of more obscure movies.
Let's get into your list. What is your number five? I'm curious now.
My number five. So, I'm going to tease you guys.
Okay.
I'm going to tickle the balls and say, I wanted a superhero movie. I wanted a fantastical movie on my list, right? But what do I do when Deadpool, Civil War, and Doctor Strange came out? And they're all fantastic. I can't choose? I don't. That's what I do. I don't fucking choose one of them.
Okay.
And I go fucking left field. I go with Kubo and the Two Strings, which is an animated movie by Laika, the guys who did Coraline.
I'm going to stop you there. It's a stop motion.
It's
animation.
A stop motion claymation animated movie.
There we go.
By the guys who did Coraline, Paranorman, and the Box Trolls. Here's the thing about Laika. I don't like them. I find their movies weird and off-putting. I don't like their shit at all. Paranorman had some moments I liked, but otherwise I think they're just weird for the sake of being weird. It's almost like the guy who does Amelie. Like, his other movies, like, they're just weird for the sake of weird, and I've not been able to get into them. What's your opinion on the Laika movies so far? Have you seen any of them?
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan. I really enjoy Coraline. Paranorman's okay. I didn't see Box... Well, I saw Box Trolls with my niece, but it was kind of forgettable.
Yeah, I think it's the worst.
What they are to me is they saw Nightmare Before Christmas and were like, hey, I like Tim Burton a lot. And then they don't realize that Tim Burton had very little to do with Nightmare.
Agreed.
Outside of producing it. But they think that he directed it, which a lot of people do. And they're like, let's do Tim Burton stop motion animation. And so that's what they're like trying to riff on that almost. Mm-hmm. That's the feel I get from them.
All right. Yeah, I completely agree.
Okay, good.
Did you see Kubo and the Two Strings?
I have not seen it, but I heard many good things.
All right, let me paint a little picture real quick. It is like The Legend of Zelda as a movie.
Okay, you have my attention.
Fantastic. It is my favorite animated movie of the last few years. It is beautiful and gorgeous. There are things I've seen in this movie I've never seen before. And it plays like a Legend of Zelda game, like where the main character meets some people on the way. He finds an item, completes a dungeon and a boss, and keeps going. And there's some fantastic voice talents on here. I think the main kid, Kubo, is played by Rickon Stark from Game of Thrones.
Really?
And then Charlize Theron's in it. Matthew McConaughey's in it. I want to say it's Ralph Fiennes is the Moon King. And then Rooney Mara.
I like Rooney Mara.
Is really cool in her role as like these evil twin sisters. But like just the sheer artistic beauty. It's like
It's based
anything
in like
I've never seen.
Japanese mythology, correct?
It is, okay. Which is like a big win for me. Like,
cool, yeah. I like that.
That's much more of a, like an intriguing aesthetic than like trash monsters.
Yes.
Like what the fuck? Like, that's going to attract nobody. So I think it's a fantastic movie. Great heart and emotions.
It's one that I want to see. It's just one that I didn't get to seeing this year. So,
and that's my biggest regret. It may have even been higher if I was able to see it in theaters in 3D. Because I think this movie with the puppetry of the claymation things, I think it would have been amazing. But, yeah, that's my number five. I think it's really good and worth seeing.
I do want to see it, and I, you know, now that we've discussed it here, I will see it, and we can just finally discuss it freely outside of the constraints of the show.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'm going to move on.
Yes, number four, Kyle.
To my number four. So, it's going to riff off what you had said earlier. My number four for this year was Deadpool.
Okay. So far, I'm winning the bet.
So far, you are, yes.
So far.
Did we make this bet on air or was this off air?
This is on air.
Okay, so people have
so
frame
they know
of
what
reference.
We're talking about.
Booze affects me, everybody. So, yeah, Deadpool.
Booze erects me. It doesn't. That's the opposite.
I don't really feel I need to say much about Deadpool. I think everybody I know and anybody who would even think about listening to the show, I'm sure, has seen Deadpool. They know Deadpool. It's a fun R-rated romp.
Yeah,
with Ryan Reynolds starring as Deadpool, who I enjoy in almost everything anyways, outside of his first turn as Deadpool.
Or Green Lantern.
Or Green Lantern, which both of those get riffed on in this movie.
Yeah.
So maximum kudos to it for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's silly, stupid fun. What I really appreciated about it is the fact that it had a very, very shoestring budget. And all the things that it makes happen within that budget. I like a movie, and that's one of my big things that I love about The Matrix, is that they didn't have a blank check. so it forces a lot of better storytelling out of the directors, I feel, and I think Deadpool is also a member of that. It's forced to work better within its mm-hmm. restraints rather than just cut all loose. So
yeah,
works really well.
I'll go ahead and talk about it too with you since it's not going to be on my list. This was one that was always going to be on my list up until just recently, and it got knocked out. Like literally last night, it got knocked out when I saw this other movie that's coming up. It's fantastic. I think it's important for superhero movies that our rating is a first, and I think it's going to shape a lot of things to come. We're already getting a Logan Wolverine movie that's R rated now, yep. And it looks like it's going to be pretty good. But more than that, like you said, like it's narratively dense and smart.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you're a sucker for like the shoestring budget forcing the director's hand. Like I'm a sucker for that out of sequence narrative that goes back and forth and makes you like pay attention and say like, hey, fucking smarten up, viewer, because if you don't pay attention, you're gonna get lost. And Deadpool does that. Like it is a movie that really only takes place in 10 minutes of real time, and the rest are done through flashbacks yeah. and like stories. And I think that's like really cool and smart, and actually plays to the character's strengths, which is just like, you know, I'm not your typical hero character. Like I'm gonna do things a little differently. And I think that's fantastic. I completely agree with this choice, and I regret it's on my list. But
yeah, it's fun. And again, if you haven't seen Deadpool, my God, you really should. It's a yes. lot of fun. Don't watch it with children.
No,
it is not a kid's superhero movie. It's being heralded, you know, as the return of the R-rated action flick. It's
yeah.
I think it's also gonna, you know, it's gonna do a lot of good for the fact that it will bring back the big budget R-rated action flick. There are a lot of people that greenlit things based on the success of Deadpool. I'm so into that.
Yep.
So
absolutely. Absolutely. Good choice.
All right. So let's get into your number four, buddy.
All right. I'm sorry, audience. This is where it goes indie. My number four is a movie that probably none of you have seen. It is Park Chan-wook's The Handmaiden.
Nope. Not seen it.
Park Chan-wook, if you do not know, is the director, South Korean director behind Old Boy,
okay,
Sympathy
yeah.
for Mr. Vengeance and Lady Vengeance, Thirst, and then Stoker, I think, was his American movie that he released maybe 2-3 years ago.
He did Bram Stoker's Dracula?
No, it's just called Stoker. I hope that's a joke.
It wasn't. It was a total joke. A really bad joke, by the way, but please continue.
But, If you're not familiar with this director, one, the movie is Japanese, so there are subtitles. I'm sorry. That's automatically going to alienate some people if there are subtitles.
I don't like those people.
Yeah, I really can't get behind it either. But this director, if you're not familiar, tells really small, elaborate tales with a very dark, sinister undertone. And The Handmaiden is the story of here's the thing. The Handmaiden is a movie like The Sixth Sense, where the less you know going into it, the more you're going to appreciate.
Okay.
So I won't really talk synopsis, but I will say it is the story of kind of identity and how people hide their identities. And it's this kind of con tale, a tale of cons, and really, it's so hard to talk about this movie if you haven't seen it, because I really don't want to spoil it. But needless to say, like, there are big dramatic violent turns. It is overtly sexual. Like, this is like almost.
You got me.
Points where like graphic sex scenes for 6-7 minutes at a time. So like, if that's a turnoff for you, like, you're not gonna enjoy this movie. It thematically is about sex.
Okay.
And it's just, it's fantastic. It is a complex narrative. You get what, it's a movie told in three acts. The first act, you see something, and the second act goes back and tells all those events over, but from another point of view. It is so complex, so good, and I hate that nobody's gonna fucking see this movie.
Well, I wrote it down to watch.
I think you'll really like it.
I have a few questions.
Yes,
is
please.
Is she the handmaiden and it's sexual because she gives hand jobs at a massage parlor?
No.
Okay.
It's right after Japan has occupied South Korea.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
So a South Korean servant works for a Japanese heiress. as a handmaiden.
Fair enough. Yeah.
And there's also a plot involving a suitor, a count, trying to win the affections of the heiress, and uses the handmaiden to help. And then you start to learn like everybody's true motives, and it keeps playing with that.
All right, I'm into it.
And I will say this too to tease, just in case, because I know it sounds like, oh, I can't talk about it, but see it, but don't, I can't talk about it, but it's great, but I can't talk about it. It has one of the most fucked up images sexually I have ever seen, involving a wooden life-size puppet and a woman.
Right, and you have seen Antichrist,
and I have seen Antichrist, which and has this, was just, this is something
some
that
of the most
never
fucked up sexually scenes I've ever seen. All right, I'm gonna see it. I'm gonna watch it. I might even watch it tonight.
I think you should. I think you should. You might not, like, again, it might not be your favorites, but this director does it for me. Old Boy was one of my favorites, and I think this is better than Old Boy.
All right. All right. Well, I'm going to move on then. Yes. We don't want to get stuck in it. To my number three, and if this is the one that's going to win me the bet, this is the one. So I'm going to go head out.
Go ahead.
My number three movie that I saw this year was Arrival.
Still not winning.
Damn. All right. Well,
that
I guess
was,
I've lost
that's
a
in
dollar.
My honorable mentions.
Is it really? Yeah. Okay. I really liked Arrival.
Yes.
Leaving the theater, I love the way that it fucks with time as a storytelling device. And as it went on, I caught on and I knew what was coming earlier. Mm-hmm. But I don't think a lot of people do, and that's cool.
Yeah.
The way that it just subtly fucks with you, and the way that it uses time as a storytelling device, because the whole movie is based around the concept of time and time being circular and stepping outside into that fourth dimension. Mm-hmm. Just a really, really fantastic sci-fi film that is not about what you think it's about.
I also don't think it hurts. If you know, like, kind of the twist that's coming, like, if you are able to predict it, I don't think it hurts.
Oh, no. I still enjoy it.
It's still fantastic.
I saw the twist coming about 30 minutes mm-hmm. in, and I was like, okay. And then you see the first hint of the twist, and I was like, all right, I'm right.
Yep.
And then it finally comes home, and I'm like, all right, cool. I still like this.
Yeah.
So it all works very, very well.
Yeah.
I also am going to go ahead. I might be jumping the gun. I think Amy Adams should get Oscar for this.
Ooh. Yeah.
I think she's best actress of the year for that role. I think she fucking crushed it.
I've seen some of like the big acting like movies like Jackie with Natalie Portman and like some of the other like awardsy movies, but of the movies I've seen, this is
I think so. I
one
think
of the best performance.
She will absolutely get the nod. I think she should take the win this year. But that's just me. But I foresee that coming.
Yeah.
So
I think it's also a very, very smart sci-fi film.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite sci-fis I've seen in the last 5 years, for sure.
Aliens feel very unique and different from any other alien I've seen on film. The process of her figuring out the language is fascinating, and it shouldn't be. It should be really boring.
This whole movie should be so fucking boring.
It shouldn't work.
No, none of this should, but it does.
But it does, yeah. And it does it so well. I completely agree. And if nothing else, this movie is going to win cinematography.
Yep.
Because goddamn, Denis Villeneuve can shoot some fucking movies. He's good.
The surprising aspect of this movie was fucking Jeremy Renner is bringing a really nice performance too. Like,
yeah, very subtle and understated.
Exactly, man. It's a really good turn for him, and I like to see more things like this from him. I enjoy Jeremy Renner anyways, so I like to see this from him because it I think it's going to be that next step in his overall career, I hope. So
yeah, I agree.
I really like Arrival.
Completely agree.
Number three.
And it makes you very excited for Blade Runner, which I was not excited.
I'm
but
very excited
that
for
this
Blade
director
Runner.
Is attached, I think we're in for good. Well, Ryan Gosling.
I was going to say, I was going to give you one guess why I'm excited about Blade Runner. But then I was going to say, well, I'll give you two because there's also Harrison is in there as well.
Yeah.
But by God, yeah. Ryan Gosling, Blade Runner. Fucking give it to me. I am there opening day. You know it.
I agree.
Absolutely. All right, man. Well, let's talk about your number three.
All right. So my number three, I think this maybe has been seen by more people. Sing Street.
No.
Ah, shit. God damn it. So
sorry.
I'm just going to have a bunch of movies that nobody's seen to talk about.
Sing Street. Is this a musical?
This is kind of a musical.
Okay.
It's from the same guy, and I'm sorry I don't know his name, but he directed Once, and he directed Begin Again. This is his third film, and it takes place in the 80s in Ireland. And it is about, like, a little boy. It's kind of the coming-of-age story about a little kid who grows up, doesn't really know his place or how to fit in quite well. So he turns to music. He turns to the 80s music. And, like, you get he makes a band to win the affections of a girl, to make friends. And, like, the thing that this director does, I wish I knew his name. I feel really bad that I don't have it. I think it's John something. But
Johnny Irish.
he gets music so well. Like, once gave us that the Swell Season, Glenn, whatever his name is, like the Falling Slowly song. Like, this guy puts these fake songs that don't exist into the movies, and they sound better than what is fucking out there nowadays. And he does that for 80s music here. So you get, like, songs that sound like The Cars or Devo or ABBA. Like, you get, like, these really rich 80s songs that don't exist, that are fantastic. And more so than that, like, I'm a sucker for, like, the John Hughes, like, coming-of-age story.
Yes,
and
you are.
This movie is, like, one of the best I've ever seen. The main character has an older brother.
What's the name of it again?
It's called Sing Street, and it's on Netflix, so you guys can go and see this. It's fantastic. Like I said, it's not really a musical. There are just musical numbers in it.
All right, all
think,
right.
Think more of, like, Tenacious D. Like, I don't even... I think there's even less music than the Tenacious D movie.
Tenacious D, that's more of a rock opera.
Yeah, I think
it's a musical. But.
But, like, the older brother is something I've never seen in another movie before. Like, it's just, it's not the typical older brother you would get. He's kind of smart and world-wise, but, like, kind of downtrodden, but, like, helpful. And, like, it's just a very complex character that I've never seen before. The father's played by the guy who does Littlefinger. In Game of Thrones,
okay.
Like, there's a bunch of little people that you'll notice, but fantastic movie. I think it's one of the best coming-of-age stories. If you like movies like Son of Rambo or, like, those kind of quirky things.
I like Son of
things,
Rambo a lot. Okay.
You'll like Sing Street.
All right, cool. I'm going to give it a go then.
I think you should. Kyle.
My number two movie.
Yes.
Of the year. I'm not going to talk about it a lot because we already have a whole lot.
Uh-oh.
For me... Rogue One.
Oh, okay.
Giant, stupid Star Wars nerd. hits a lot of fan service.
Uh-huh.
Giant fan service movie. Of course I'm going to like it. Had a lot of fucking fun at the theater watching this movie. Cannot wait to see it again. That's all I really got to say.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, you should listen to our episode about
it. Yeah, go to our podcast. Like, we fucking talk about this shit.
Yeah, we have a whole episode dedicated to this with special guest Mr. Brooks.
Yes, so, Mr. Brooks.
So that's all
I
got to say.
Dane Cook. He's the biggest Dane Cook fan.
Mr. Brooks is?
Mr. Brooks loves
Dane Cook. I was a big Dane Cook fan younger.
Like, everybody was. Yeah. There was, like, a year when it was, like, really cool.
I still don't hate on the
Dane
guy.
Cook.
His movies are awful.
He was in Waiting, and I really like Waiting.
He
still.
Was in Waiting, and
that's
he, but
about it.
Because he didn't lead.
That's
he was
it.
He was the lead in that fucking movie with Jessica Alba.
Employee of the Month.
No, that's Jessica Simpson.
Oh, shit. Oh, it's Good Luck, Chuck.
Good Luck, Chuck.
You're right. What the fuck is with these Jessicas in this Dane Cook movie?
I don't know, but I have
the key to this success.
I've seen
failure.
Employee of the Month, and that also has Dax Shepard, who I fucking love.
Oh God, yeah.
God, that movie is just it's.
And Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite.
All of those people are in that movie. And yeah. Anyways, so Rogue One. That's my number two. That's really all I've got to say about it.
Well,
it's up there high, maybe because it's the freshest. But man, I had a lot of fun with it. So.
I should say, I didn't say this earlier, but The Handmaiden was the movie I saw last night. And maybe, I think with time, I think it's one that would only be higher on my list because there's a lot to impact.
Okay.
But I didn't say that earlier, but that's to know. Speaking of freshest.
All right. So you're number two.
Kyle, we also did a podcast on this.
Oh, we did?
We did. And it is 10 motherfucking Cloverfield Lane.
And oh my
it is
God!
A great movie. Haters be damned. This is the best Hitchcock movie we've had since Hitchcock's death. It is really, really good. Very tight thriller. Have you seen it, Sound Engineer Andy? Okay, then fuck off a cliff. Then fuck right off a cliff because it is good. It is legitimately good. Say whatever you will about the last 10 minutes, where it is divisive, and I get that. But that slow tension thriller with John Goodman and those two in a room. Are fantastic. John Goodman deserves an Oscar nod for this.
Almost everybody in the world agrees with you. That's fine. I don't, but I get why people like it too. It's just not my thing. So. Yeah.
And this is in a year where we also had Green Room. And we had...
See, in Green Room would be in my honorable mentions. I really like
Green
Room.
It's in my honorable mention. And Don't Breathe, which I think are the very tight, claustrophobic, like, people in a room trap movies.
I haven't seen Don't Breathe yet, but I want to.
They are all fantastic. But for me, 10 Cloverfield Lane inches it out because I think John Goodman does something here that nobody else does. And I think it's shot very, very well.
And I still can't speak much on it because I still have not given it a second viewing, even though I've claimed to. And I still will. But I just haven't yet, so.
Yep. But that's all I got to say. If you want more, listen to our podcast.
Yeah, we do have a 10 Cloverfield Lane episode, too, so give it a go. So I guess that's going to bring us to our number ones.
This is our favorite movie of the year.
Yeah.
Kyle, I'm feeling pretty good about this bet that we don't have anything in common.
Oh, yeah, I think you're gonna win a dollar, and that's fine. Because it's a fucking dollar. I don't care. It's nothing compared to the 2017 bet.
Yeah. We'll talk about later.
So for me, easily, hands down, I didn't even have to think about it. As soon as I made this list, this was number one. And I own this movie. I really fucking like this movie.
I think I know what it is.
It was Swiss Army Man.
No, that's not what I would have guessed.
No.
What?
Yeah.
How'd this fucking happen? All right.
I fucking loved this movie because it's weird and it's off and it's just fucking, man, it sticks with you. A lot of parts. So.
All right. We are going to talk about this.
What did you think?
I've seen it too.
What did you think was my number one?
I thought it was The Witch.
Which came out in 2015.
No, it was early this year, dude.
No, I just looked it up because when you brought up 10 Cloverfield Lane, I was like, did I forget The Witch?
It may have been a limited release.
But we saw it in January.
Yeah, right?
But it was 2015 when it released.
Was it a fucking December release?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no shit.
So that's why I didn't count it because I would have.
Would that have been your number one?
I don't know if it had been my number one. It would have been very high up in the two or three. But I as soon as you brought up 10 Cloverfield Lane, I brought my phone out. I was like, fuck, did I miss The Witch? I didn't think I did, and I didn't. No, it didn't count. It was a 2015 late release because we saw it in January,
fucking
I think.
Shocked me. Okay.
Because it was cold. I remember that.
Yeah, it was.
So, Swiss Army Man. That's my number one of the year.
That's fucking crazy. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. Well,
were you not expecting that at all, I guess?
No.
Not even in my top five?
No,
I take it it's not in your top five.
Maybe like a Neon Demon twist. It's not even in my honorable
mentions. Man, and I really should have had Neon Demon, but I want to watch it again. Yeah. I did enjoy Neon Demon a lot.
I thought there might have been like a left turn like that coming out.
It's going to be in my honorables. I thought Neon was way better than Only God Forgives, which I did not like at all, man.
I'm with you. So let's talk about Swiss Army Man.
Yeah, please.
Because we've not talked about Swiss Army Man, and I feel like that's a movie that needs to be talked about for at least 5 minutes.
It's Daniel Radcliffe and Paul Dano pretty much carrying this entire movie.
Yes.
Radcliffe is a dead corpse for the entirety of the movie.
Yeah.
And you're left to deduce if he's actually interacting with Paul Dano or if Paul Dano is as crazy as you think and are maybe confirmed at the end.
I don't think you're left to deduce. I think this movie completely...
spells it out for you at the
end.
And
that's one of my big issues with the movie is I think the ending is not good. I think it would have been a fucking terrific ending if they were just like, what the fuck is happening? And then ended the movie. That you have like the fantastical like, oh, well, wait, it's actually, you know. I don't like that. And I also think some of the philosophy in the movie is like, it's kind of dumb and juvenile. It's like trying to be like so wise and deep, but it's like everybody poops. Everybody has shit in them. It's like, yeah, I mean, this isn't really smart what you're saying. Like this is philosophy 101 here. Not even that. That's like a middle schooler philosophy. Everybody shit. That's it. There's literally a book called Everybody Poops. And that's what this movie preaches.
Well, to an extent.
There's a long monologue about pooping in this movie and farting.
The entire movie is based upon Daniel Radcliffe's and his magical farts as a corpse.
This is called the farting corpse movie at Sundance and caused many people to walk out.
A lot of people walked out. I could get it.
I didn't. Yeah.
I loved every second of it. And I think a big part of this movie's appeal to me as well is that soundtrack.
The soundtrack is really good.
Like... it's something that you and I discuss many times. Music has a big impact, and music is often so overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
And the subtlety of the soundtrack, where it gets stuck in your head, but it's all done like a cappella wise. Pop popcorn, pop popcorn, pop popcorn. And I've listened to the soundtrack because I own the soundtrack of this movie too. And like the soundtrack is literally they're singing what's happening on the screen, because at one point he's like, "Now we killed a raccoon. We are using your body like it's a machine gun." And it's so, like, you don't hear it when you're watching, but when you go back, it's so obvious. And it's just, it's dumb, fun, weird, quirkiness for the sake of quirky.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel cheap quirky like a Tim Burton now to me.
No, I wouldn't say it's like Tim Burton. I would say it's like, it's visually very inventive. They do a lot of stuff. Laura and I watched it, and I'll just say I liked the movie a lot. Did not love it. There was something keeping me back, and I was like, it's kind of like a Michel Gondry movie, but like filmed by a 13-year-old. And I think the Daniels are kind of like that. The only thing they've done before this is the Turn Down for What video, which if you've seen is pretty much Swiss Army Man, but for 80, 90 minutes.
They do weirdness.
Which is very weird, and like I will give this movie fucking all the kudos and credit in the world. It is unlike anything
you will ever see.
That's, and I don't think you'll ever see it again.
And it will impact people way differently. Yeah. There are going to be people who fucking hate it and walk out. There are going to be people who are indifferent to it like you. There are going to be people who, like me, who fucking loved it.
Not indifferent. Well, I liked it. I just don't think it's perfect. Yeah. I don't think it's a perfect, fantastic movie. But that said, like, I am with you. Like, I was thinking of, like, the soundtracks of the year, and I've got a few up there. Swiss Army Man is definitely in it. The music is so good. And you're talking about performances. I think Daniel Radcliffe definitely deserves it for this. This is who'd fucking thought like a caliber actor like that would do something like this and then do it fucking really, really good.
Well, and Paul Dano too is fucking great. Like,
yeah. Well, I would say he's more your typical mumblecore. Like, he's a character we've seen before.
Yeah.
And he does it very well, but it's show me an actor that's done something like Daniel Radcliffe in this movie.
That's taking that risk too. Yeah. So, all right, man.
While I do not agree, that is a very interesting choice that I support. I like that. I like that a lot.
That was my number one. Like I said,
that better than The Witches, which is what I thought it was going to be.
Nope.
Okay.
We are so
close to both having Mary Elizabeth Winstead movies in our number one.
You do have
10 Cloverfield was almost my number one.
Oh, okay.
It was almost my number one.
Oh, yeah, because she is the chick that he stalks. That's totally right. I forgot.
Yeah, we were so close.
All right, so you're number one, man. Let's get into this.
All right.
Oh, my drum roll. It's this hype.
Hey, guys, this is the movie we've been waiting for like 6-7 years now. And thankfully, we have the computer technology to do it. It is the Angry Birds movie.
Oh, my God. You're fucking up.
I am fucking you off.
Yeah,
this is not real. Fuck that shit. Danny McBride, god damn it. What? Oh, I don't know why you do that. Jason Sudeikis, I expect it out of you. You've done shit. You've just middled post SNL. All right. Seriously. Hunt for the Wilder People.
I knew it was going to be up there, man.
It was.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, man, you should.
And I want to.
It's worth paying whatever rental price it is.
No, it's on Hulu for free right now.
Oh, is it?
I've had two opportunities.
I'm
going to
watch it again.
I was going to watch it before this episode to record. I just didn't get a chance to.
All right.
I totally expect this to be high on my list. It's just going to be high.
I think it will be high on your list. It may not be top, but I think it'll be in your list somewhere.
So give me, because I haven't seen it, I know, I'm sorry, you got a spoilers, give me some nice bullet points.
I will not give you any spoilers. Okay. I will say, best thing I've ever seen Sam Neill in.
That's what I am so excited for.
Sam Neill was in Jurassic Park.
He was in Jurassic Park?
That's maybe hyperbolic, I take that back. Jurassic Park's pretty amazing.
It is pretty fucking good.
So, he's the only recognizable actor in this movie, otherwise it is all... You know, Maori people, Taika Waititi, New Zealanders. Like, he uses local people very well.
This guy directed Shark versus Eagle, right?
Eagle versus Shark.
Eagle versus Shark, which is
Boy
another weird,
and
great
What We
movie
Do in
I
the
love.
Shadows.
Yeah.
All fantastic.
What We Do in the Shadows, I enjoyed. I think I expected more from it.
Yeah.
So it fell a little short for me. But, man, I really liked Eagle versus Shark or Shark versus Eagle, whatever you say it.
You'll like this more. I think What We Do in the Shadows is my least favorite of his. I still think it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
But... it's more of the line of Eagle versus Shark, where it's this weird, quirky thing. I'll even say it's like Jared Hess, the director of Napoleon Dynamite, if he did good movies. Because it's that same kind of quirky, off-putting comedy and characters that you they're ugly characters. They don't quite fit. Like, they're weird. There's just something wrong about them. But he makes them so incredibly endearing. It is about a little juvenile delinquent who is a trifecta of arsonist, troublemaker, whatever you have you. And he goes to live with a new family, a new foster family, a woman in Sam Neill who's kind of detached, doesn't want anything to do with this kid, but the wife really takes a shine to the kid. Not a spoiler, within the first 10 minutes, something happens, the wife's out of the picture, and Sam Neill kind of has to look after this kid in the woods. And it becomes like a buddy cop comedy between these two. This kid, I don't know his real name. He plays Ricky Baker is the name of the character. He is fantastic. His acting is just so natural, but like he is gifted funny. Like he is so funny in just his mannerisms, his looks about him. Like he's like a heavyset kid, so there's a lot of like quips at his weight that are like, I don't know, probably wrong, but like I can't help but laugh. Like it's so good. Like the first time he meets the foster parents, the mom's just like, oh, you want some cake? Oh, I know you want some cake. Look at the size of you, eh? And just like things like that, like these little barbs. And the movie is just filled with it. And Taika Waititi just shoots it with like such a fucking passion. It's almost like I said, Napoleon Dynamite meets Wes Anderson, a little bit of Moonrise Kingdom in there.
Love Moonrise Kingdom.
Whatever.
Sound engineer Andrew rolls
whatever.
His
whatever. This is. I expected a lot of eye rolling during my list, so thank you for living up to that.
It's only when you brought up Moonrise Kingdom. It's my great. Favorite Wes Anderson, by the way.
I'm fucking with you.
It's
I
the
am
best one.
Fucking with
Moonrise
you.
Kingdom, best Wes Anderson ever. Fight me, IRL listeners, if you fucking disagree. Grand Budapest number 2. Fuck you.
Oh, I disagree with that.
I know
okay.
you do. We'll fight.
That's
but
okay.
No. That's a little more subjective. But man, Moonrise Kingdom is the best.
It's tits.
Fucking
it's the
hands
tits.
Down.
It is the tits. It is the tits.
I think let me wait. If I remember right, he goes Rushmore.
Rushmore
number
is fantastic
one.
Too. That would be like my number movie. 2. Rushmore is like number 2. It's
I think
so
he
good.
Goes Royal? Life Aquatic.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Bowie for the win on that one.
Life Aquatic
and Bill Murray,
is very
you can't
good.
Beat Bill Murray. You can't
and
beat
fucking
Murray.
Willem Dafoe.
Well, Willem Dafoe you can beat. I don't know. He's fine.
He's great in that.
He's great in
role.
Everything he yeah. does, but like he doesn't make the movie. Bill Murray makes that movie. But Hunt for the Wilder People.
I'm gonna
it's
watch
fantastic.
It. That
if
was
it's
already
on
my list.
If it's on fucking Hulu, you guys should absolutely watch it.
Yeah.
Like even if you don't love it like I do, you're gonna have a good time. It is like an hour and 30 minutes. It's a quick, easy watch. And I think it's my favorite movie this year, and it gives me so much hope that this director is doing a Thor movie next year.
Oh yeah,
it's
he is doing
so
that.
Fucking weird that they chose him, but I think it's going to provide our first good Thor movie. So,
all right, man. Well,
very excited.
You had some honorable mentions. I think we mentioned a lot of them.
Yeah, I'll just go through the list real quick.
Okay,
we don't even have to talk about them. But Arrival, which was on your list, Green Room, Deadpool, Captain America: Civil War, Doctor Strange, The Nice Guys, Midnight Special, which is aces. Just aces. Don't Breathe, Hell or High Water, Eddie the Eagle, and the...
You liked Eddie the Eagle.
I loved it.
Man.
I loved it.
All right.
I'm not even like a sports guy. I don't know what it was. Like, I think the style, Hugh Jackman's character, it fucking moved me. And I don't get
okay.
moved by
I
sports
totally...
movies fucking ever, but
I totally
like the ending
it.
Moved me.
I'm that way about Remember the Titans.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I can't scoff too hard.
Yeah. Oh,
but okay. I did not like Eddie the Eagle.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, apparently it's like 50 or 60% Rotten Tomatoes. Like, it's pretty divisive. People yeah, either love yeah. it or don't like it. And I'm on the other side.
Okay.
But
well, at least it wasn't your top five.
No, so. No. But I just want to give a shout-out to it.
And this is my last thing to say, and then we'll wrap up. I don't know if it counts, and you can correct me here. But one I'm very excited about seeing... and had I seen it, and if it was this year, it would have probably been on my list. La La Land.
That is, yep.
It
that's
is
one 2016? I wanted to see. Yeah, but it's not playing fucking
it was
wide
a limited
yet.
Release.
It's so limited.
Okay.
Yeah. But, it's probably going to be like The Witch, where we'll get it January.
All right. Well, let's you and I, let's try to go see that.
Yeah, I would love to.
It's Emma Stone, and it's Ryan Gosling. So
and Damien Chazelle, who did yep. Whiplash. So,
so
probably
totally
going to be pretty
all
great.
Parts of that. All right, man. So that's our list for the 2016 top five movies. I owe you $1, and you will get that $1 when you pry it from my cold, dead butthole. Oh, huh? No, it's a dollar.
I guess somebody's getting murdered.
So. I totally owe you that. Congratulations on the win. I thought Arrival was going to be our uniter, but it was not, and that's cool.
Our Johnny uniter.
God.
See? Sports names.
You and sound engineer Andrew, kill me! All right, that's what we got. Tune in next time when we're going to discuss our top video games of 2016.
Yes.
Unless we release that one first, then thanks for listening to this one.
Let's not release it first then.
Yeah, we won't. I don't know. Spoilers! Sometimes these get released out of order that we record them. You guys got to look behind the fucking curtain at the Wizard of Oz.
It's like in that scene in that Wizard of Oz movie where behind the curtain was like a naked frail old man.
Dude,
we watched that same movie, right? And for some reason, he was doing things with his butt.
For some reason, who doesn't do things with his butt? All right, we're ending on that note. Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll catch you next time on the best video games of 2016. Grind out.
Hi, this is Ryan, and if you liked what you just saw or listened to, please check us out at experiencegrind.com. Find us on facebook.com/experiencegrind, at Twitter, over at twitter.com/expgrindpodcast, where Kyle's tweeting out a lot of stuff all the time. And then you can always find us, our podcast, on iTunes, Stitcher, Twitch, or even on YouTube. Find us, just search Experience Grind Podcast. We don't have a channel yet. Stuff's super easy to find. But please subscribe. We'll get there to you, make it even easier. And as always, if you like what you saw, we cover mini games and episodes every week. There's sure to be something you love. And as always, grind out.